Please welcome Rosh Wright.
By any means and by any measure, little Dougie was my favorite ever pediatric patient. Now, as a really good nurse, I know I'm not really supposed to have favorites, just like teachers and parents aren't supposed to have favorites, but we're all human, and we do. And I think the fact that I still remember little Dougie 40 years on, four decades on, is a testament to the fact that he really held a place in my heart. I went to the University of Alberta Hospital in the 1970s from England, and my first assignment was on the orthopedic ward for a couple of years, and then I decided to switch to pediatrics, not for any terribly noble and heroic calling, but because they had 12-hour shifts, which meant that every 2 to 3 weeks I'd get 5 days off and could go skiing or out to the lake or any of those things that you do when you're a young person living in Canada. So I started on the pediatric unit, and actually it turned out to be a very good thing because for the rest of my clinical career, I did a lot of pediatrics, including Children's Hospital at Stanford, which is an amazing place, of course. So it was the University of Alberta Hospital that set me on this course, and my first day, I showed up to work on the floor, and I hadn't really done much pediatrics. I was pretty nervous. And I got my assignment. They gave me a couple of patients, sort of easing me in gently. And I went to find my patients, and I forget what the first one was, some little boy or girl that I had to take care of. So I went and read up on the chart what I had to do and went and found the child, made sure they were comfortable and had everything they needed, and I knew what I had to do for the rest of that shift. And then I went looking for Dougie, and I couldn't find him. And I searched everywhere. Dougie would have been about probably 3.5 years old. How do you lose a 3.5-year-old on a hospital ward? So I'm looking everywhere, and it became a bit embarrassing. One's not supposed to lose one's patients in about 15 minutes of your first day on a unit. So finally I had to say to another staff member, you know, I can't find Dougie. I don't know where he is. I didn't even know what he looked like. And they're like, oh, Dougie. Let's go looking for him. So we went searching under beds, in closets, behind the toy box, in the toy box. Finally, we found Dougie. Dougie was an Eskimo boy who had lived his entire life at the hospital because he was born with a disorder called von Willebrand's disease, which is a form of hemophilia. And this particular form of hemophilia is very, very dangerous, potentially fatal. Anytime he bled, he was at high risk, and he would have to be taken immediately to the operating room for cauterization or for packing, because the place that Dougie tended to bleed from the most was his nose, his nasal cavities. And he would have these horrendous nosebleeds. They would be life-threatening, and we'd all have to go into emergency mode to get him dealt with. Dealing with Dougie in that way actually meant after they'd cauterized and what have you, they would pack his nasal cavities with salted pork fat. This is because it's very pliable, so it can really, really be shoved in there up against the tissue to hold it. And the salt also helps in the coagulopathy, apparently. So he would always walk around. I mean, he lived all the time with plugs up his nose and a piece of tape across. And we always hoped that it would stay in, because if it came out, he was likely to bleed. You certainly wouldn't ever want to disturb it in any way. We would never take it out, because that could cause him to bleed. And so if it was really well packed in there, it would stay in there for several days, maybe even several weeks. And I don't know if any of you have ever smelt pork fat that's been up somebody's nose for several days or several weeks. But let's just say that one tended to smell Dougie before one saw him. And because he was actually born up in the Yukon, I mean in the wild, wild outskirts, to an Eskimo family, they could not take care of him, and the outlying hospitals didn't have the ability to really take care of him. So he'd been brought to the university hospital, and here he stayed. So he'd become very, very institutionalized. He knew how to get his way. He was a little monkey. But he and I sort of became his primary nurse, really. But he would really, really act up. And one of the things he learned was to bite. And he would bite other patients, and he would bite staff. And one day, I was trying to do something, get him to bed or something, had him sitting on my lap, and he did not want to be put to bed. So he got his teeth, and he clamped down on my arm. So I picked up his arm, and I put my mouth on his arm. And he gave me this threatening glare, and I gave him a threatening glare. I'm thinking of Dean's Predators, you know. And he sort of realized what was going to happen. And so he relaxed my arm, and I relaxed his arm. That all happened in a split second, because later when I thought back, I thought, had anybody seen me about to bite a hemophiliac, I would have lost my license right there and then. So he stayed with us, and I became very, very fond of him. Like I said, I was his primary nurse. And when Christmas rolled around, I had some friends who had some young children. And so I asked permission to take Dougie out for the day, which nobody had ever done this, to take him out for the day for Christmas down to my friend's house so that he could play in the snow. He had only ever seen snow out of the hospital window, a little Eskimo boy who had never played in the snow. That just didn't seem right to me. So we bundled him up, and I took him down, and he was out there playing with my friend's kids in the snow. And I took photographs, of course. And we had just a wonderful, wonderful day. And so time went on, and the powers that be, I guess social workers and doctors and various different people, decided that at some point he was going to have to be returned to his family. And so all these arrangements were made to where he would be ultimately returned to the Yukon Territories. Of course, those of us who knew him and knew how fragile his condition was were very nervous about this. But it was felt that that was what had to happen to him. He couldn't live his whole life in hospital. So arrangements were made to fly him up to Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories in a little four-seater plane. There would be the pilot, Dougie, a doctor, and a nurse. I made sure I was that nurse. And we had a young female English doctor, Sarah, and she was the doctor. And so the four of us were in this little plane. I can't remember, probably 3 hours flight. This is somebody who's really afraid of flying under the best of circumstances, but in this tiny little flight going up there, I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere, you don't see anything except land forever underneath. With Sarah in the back, pilot to my left, I'm sitting there with Dougie on my lap, trying to stop him leaning forwards and fiddling with the buttons on the dashboard or whatever you call that thing. when we got up to Yellowknife, we were met by the hospital staff from the Yellowknife Hospital. The doctors and nurses came out to the plane and took him. We, of course, had all his emergency materials that he needed. I had spare pork fat and tape and IVs and everything. And so we'd had a safe journey, and we could hand him over plus his supplies to the nurses and doctors. And he was taken off, and we never knew what happened to him. I never heard anything else at all about him. And I mean, this was a child that I had seriously thought about adopting. I mean, that's how much I love this little boy. When I think about it, I mean, now he would be 40-something if he lived. I think it highly unlikely that he would have survived very long, really. But one thing's for sure, I've got all these photo albums that I'm starting to go through, and I'm throwing away photos of people and places that I just don't recognize from years ago. I'm like, who is this? Why do I have their photograph even? I haven't yet come across Dougie's. But when I do, I will not be throwing them away, by no means.